Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee from fallen leaves. The blood and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling it Sam. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exhaust the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day to bring to you his great and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For y'all ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yah is the savior of the world. And we thank the mighty Yah, the Most High, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, that he would allow us to come before you each and every day. Today we will discuss the order of unity. People talk about unity. People seem to desire unity. And even people make believe that they are unified. But true unity, according to the scriptures, have certain steps that one must take to have true unity. Whether that unity is in something good, or rather that unity is something bad. Because just because you unify don't mean it's always good. It might be good to those that's unified, but then it might not be good to others. But the type of unity, which is only one type, that the Creator is looking for us to have, there's a certain understanding, but more important, there are certain steps that you must walk up to, certain steps that lead you to unity. And we're going to start talking about those steps today. Because this cannot be done in just one teaching. So we have to do this over the course of a few days. But we have to start somewhere, so we're going to start here. We bring to you the many scriptures that the Creator have in His Word concerning true unity. You will see why it seems so difficult for many to have it. Whether you're a people or whether you're just a couple or whether you're just a family. But to have true unity, it takes certain steps of sincerity or wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So let us deal with the very first step it takes. And the first step it takes to have this true unity, the first step that must be ordered, number one, is to understand what unity means. How can you have it and you don't even know what it means? This is what the scripture says in the book of Psalm 133. And this is what it says in Psalm 133. the very first verse. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So the description of unity is unique in this scripture. The word unity, and I may add, you only see this word mentioned one time in the scriptures, this word unity. But the understanding of this word is all over the scriptures, all over. And we're going to show you this thing. It comes from the Hebrew word yakad, which stems from the Hebrew word akad, which means one. It means all together. It means a unit. Together. As in, it's all together. There's no division whatsoever in this unity or this oneness. Because it is totally impossible to have unity while also having division. It's impossible to have unity with diverse measures and diverse weights and diverse, in other words, if you just all got a bunch of opinions, you all got a bunch of your own imaginations, then you're not going to have unity. Unity in of itself means one in the scriptures. You either go one way or the other. This is unity. And even before I get into the scriptures, now you probably, if you're meditating and you're following me, you probably now are beginning to understand why it's hard to have unity. And also wondering why, or can't even imagine how pleasant it is to be unified because you have none. And I'm going to show you these things so you can understand what this thing is, so you can know what you have to have first and foremost to have unity. You must be one. There's no sense of talking about unity if there's no interest in being one. Every work that you will do will be in vain if that's not your intentions, if that's not your goal, if that's not your outlook. And let me show you how pleasant this was. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then it described it. It's like the precious ointment upon the head And this was on the head of Aaron that ran down upon the beard. In other words, the oil was on his head. But then the oil somehow came out of his head and ran down and connected to his beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Even the oil that connected to the beard began to connect to his skirts, to his garments. It went down to the skirts of his garments. In other words, the hem, all the way down. In other words, this precious ointment was not just on his head. It was in his beard. It was in his clothes. And whatever this precious ointment was, you could smell it all on Aaron. If you was at his feet bowing down, if you was looking straight up at him, if you were standing above him and looking down to him, no matter where you stood around Aaron, this precious ointment would have found you because it ran from his head to his beard all the way down to the hem because it was unity. That's what unity does. Unity, it connects things to become one. And if you don't have that, then you don't have unity. Whether you're in this class or that class or another class, just because you're in a class, just because you all went to the stadium to watch the Cavaliers, that don't mean you have unity. Now, it could mean that you all gathered at one place. That is a form of unity. But true unity is becoming one. For example, if you go to the book of Genesis, and why is this important to know? Because everybody talking about unity, where's our unity? And why can't we unify? And how are we going to get together? Well, we get together when you understand what it takes. We'll get together when you understand how precious unity is. And we'll get together if you're willing to fight in the toil and to work to become one. Because there is no one, unity without becoming one. That's exactly what unity means. One. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And I start reading at the first verse, and it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And look, little do people know, Yahweh didn't say the evening and the morning was the first day. That's not what Yahweh said. And you're going to see how significant and how important this is. the vast majority of the Hebrews teachers that I know, oftentimes when they're teaching their students what is the first day, they would teach them Yom Rishon. And it's understandable why they teach that, because the Hebrew word for day is Yom, and the Hebrew word for first is Rishon. And so they say Yom Rishon. But that's not what Yahweh said. And if we are unified with the Most High, would not we be teaching what He said? And what did Yahweh say the first day was called? And He did not say Yom Rishon. Yahweh called it Yom Echad. Day one, not Yom Rishon. And there's a difference between Rishon and Echad. If it wasn't a difference, Yahweh would have used Rishon, and He didn't. He used Echad. And why? Because Yahweh wanted you to know something about the light that most people refuse to teach you and tell you. That there's various parts of this day that Yahweh called, or various parts of this light that Yahweh called day. There's a morning, there's an evening, there's a midday, there's an afternoon, various parts. And in these various parts, Yahweh wanted you to know that even though there are various parts of this day or this light, all of it is unified because it's still just one light. Even though the head of this light, and the word head means Rosh in Hebrew, the head of this light is called morning. And the end of this light is called Erev, which means evening. But it's all one light. It's all together. It's one. It's Yom Echad. And this is how Yahweh desire His servants to be. One. All together. A unit with no different imaginations, no different outlooks, no different opinions, no division whatsoever. Echad. Look what the Creator let us know. Also in this same chapter in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, in the 9th verse, and Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, because there was various bodies of waters. But He wanted these waters to be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And Elohim called the dry land earth. Now watch this. And the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And Elohim saw that it was good. And why? Because these waters will come together to become one. And Yahweh loves things that are one, especially when it's one with Him. Now, today, they will call these seas all kind of names. They call them oceans and all kind of things. But the gathering together of waters, Yahweh only called it one thing and one thing only. And why? Because they only gather in one place only. And it's called seas. So we see unity with the light. We see unity even with the waters under heaven. And I'm just trying to get in your mind what true unity is. So you won't have to have this imaginary unity that our people find themselves attempting to do. It's not real. There's only one true unity. And there are certain steps you have to take to have it, to get it. And why? Because it's precious. It's precious. So anything good, anything precious, you're going to have to work at it. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. Still speaking of the order of unity. And the first order, the number one order, is to understand what unity means. It means to be one. How can you have it without? Because that's what it means. In the book of Genesis. And the question at the end of this, you want to ask yourself is, what are you willing to do? What have you been doing? And what is it going to take? See, these questions are easily answered once you understand what it is. Because then you can tell yourself, well, really, I just don't want what I think I want. Because I'm not willing to do what I know needs to be done to have unity. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. And this is what it says. And I'm going to start reading at the 21st verse. And Yahweh, Elohim, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be how many flesh? One flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And they were not ashamed because that was his wife. She was his husband. What is there to be ashamed about? We ain't did nothing wrong. They were one flesh. In other words, they were unified. They were one unit. They were all together. Now you can understand why marriages fail before they begin. Because the one thing that you will find in all marriage or in various marriages is there's no unity. They're not unified. They're not one unit. And why? Because people want to be married, but they don't want to be one. And how can you be married and not become one? At some point, at some time, one would attempt to go another way, which caused division. One would attempt to think another way, which caused division. And one would try to show another way, which also means division. And anytime you have this division, then you have the adversary right there sitting there to complete the divide. When you won in one unit, who can get between you? Who could intervene? Well, nobody can intervene if you are one. One unit. Where are they going to divide it? Where are they going to intervene at? How can they slip through? So to have a unified people, you got to have unified couples, marriages, relationships. So you'll never get to the other stages of unity if you don't complete this first stage. And that is becoming one. And how do you even go into this process? Well, the light, when Yahweh made the light didn't have to argue to determine which is the beginning and which was the end, which one was the head and which one was the tail. The light didn't have to have that argument. Yahweh brought that unity. Yahweh let you know which one. You got people arguing what's the beginning of a day. That's not Yahweh. In the scriptures, it's crystal clear. The division is not with Yahweh. And the division is not with his word. The division is the people. But it's not the light. The waters don't argue. Well, where are we going to gather at? And why we got to gather there? What makes this place so special where we got to gather there? All into one place. No, there is no division on where the waters would gather under the heaven that Yahweh called seas. There's no division there. So why should there be division between a man and his wife? Did not Yahweh establish who would be the head and who would be the tail? Did not Yahweh establish who will have rulership and who will be the husband's subordinate? So why do you have two different opinions? You only can have one. You only can go one way or the other. Now you can understand why marriages fail, because there's no unity. And you got a bunch of people that talk about being married, want to be married and tell you what went wrong with their marriage. And the bottom line is only one reason and one reason only. There was no unity. Because how can there be a break when you have unity, when you're one, when you're a unit, and when you're all together? That comes from something that is not unified. And I'm here to tell you, the more you meditate and consider, you will find the people who want to be married don't want to be unified because they know what it takes. They know what it takes. So they rather be with someone that don't mind two different opinions, two different imaginations. Or maybe they want someone, one with them, but they don't want to be one with that other person, which still spells destruction. Furthermore, we're still talking about the order of unity. The order of unity is to become one. How are you going to be one and you got two people at two opposing views, both thinking they're right? That's not unity at all. And somebody got to be the head and somebody got to be the tail. Somebody got to lead and somebody got to follow. And Yahweh has already made that choice. And why? Because Yahweh, and you're going to see this, is about unity. And unity is pleasant. Watch what the scripture says. In this same, that was Genesis 2. Now you can see why marriages are so difficult in our community. There's no unity. Now we have a lot of divorced people telling you about unity. Well, show by example. Show me by your example how unified you are. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter. And watch what it says. Genesis, the third chapter, the 22nd verse. And watch what it says. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden. And watch what it says. And Yahweh, Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. He's just like us now. In other words, he become one of us. He's become one unit, just like we are. We know good and evil. And he didn't. But now he know good and evil. And as a result of him becoming one of us, now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We can't have that because he's like one of us now. Man, this man will live forever knowing good and evil. Now, why is that a problem? Well, because this man is not able to discern. He knows this is good. He knows this is evil, but he's not able to differentiate to be able to live forever. This was not a great thing to become one of us at all. And as a result of becoming, that's why I told you, just because you have unity, it don't always mean something good, because unity means to become one. And he became one of us, speaking about the angels. Watch what it says. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. In other words, it's just like these confused men go to the doctor, cut themselves all up, and then all of a sudden they become a woman. Well, they became a woman as far as their imagination goes. We know they really not a woman. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say they became a woman, because now they done changed their name, they done changed their sex, they done did every possible thing, humanly possible thing that they can do, and now they're a woman. But the angels are saying, well, look, this thing done became one of us. Now let us put this thing out of the garden before he take out a tree of life and live forever. We don't want no thing like this living forever. And so what did they do? Put him out. Just like man they put out. So when we put out these things, they call themselves women that ain't women. So he drove the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So now, instead of them having life forevermore, instead of them having an opportunity to take from this tree of life, because they were never withheld from eating from the tree of life, just because of their inability to be unified, to be one, this division caused death. This division caused adversity. This division caused stress and anguish. But unity, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, because unity is pleasant, not anguish, not vexing. Watch what it says. Still speaking of the first order of business when it comes to unity. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis. Still in Genesis. In Genesis, the 11th chapter. And watch what this says. The very first verse. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now you would think, my goodness, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. This is a good thing. This is a great thing. Because this thing is a unified thing. But let's see how Yahweh see this type of unity, since it was just of one language and of one speech. And watch what it says. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Yahweh said, behold, the people is one. In other words, you would think that's a great thing. That's a good thing. The people is unified. But watch this. And they have all one language. They all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Because why? Unity is something pleasant. You can reach great heights by having unity. So when you see certain unified things, if it's not something good, then this type of unity can cause great havoc, great destruction, and great evil. But the unity in of itself is a pleasant thing to see and watch and to behold. But look how Yahweh would intervene in this. And watch what it says. Seven verse. Go to, let us go down in their confounding language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Here it is. Yahweh came down and confounded the speech of all the people. Here it is today. We would like, people would like us to believe that we only had one vowel in our language, and it was the ah sound. And everything was the ah sound. Yahanatan or Kanatan or Banatan or Wanatan or Allahaham. That's not how Yahweh confounded people's speech. There's all kind of vowels and speech and language that is diverse, not only from people to people, but from family to family. And I'm going to show you this. There was only one time, and one time only, where the people had one language and one speech. Now, why did he have to say one language and one speech? Because even though you might have one language, the speech still can be different. even though y'all speak in the same language. The way you say tomato, I say tomato. Two different speeches. You say Chipotle, I say Chipotle. What's the difference? We're talking about the same thing. Watch what it says. So Yahweh scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Yahweh confounded the languages. So what's the problem with people against people who speak different? People who look different. People who sound different, and people that have a different language altogether. Yahweh did this. And why? Because that's not the type of unity that Yahweh desired of certain people, because it would be for evil. Therefore, the name of it called Babel, because Yahweh did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did Yahweh scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth, and show you how this played out. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, this is what it says. Watch what it says about the sons of Japheth. Genesis 10, verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue. In other words, they had several tongues, several speech, just amongst his sons, after their families, in their nations. Watch what it says about the sons of Ham. In the 20th verse, the same chapter, these are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. And it's no different with the sons of Shem. 32nd verse. Or 31st verse, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. So each family, each country, each nation, they had their tongues. And many of the dialects were very similar to one another. But their speech was always a little bit different. And what do this have to do with unity? Because here we see Yahweh confounded their languages, confounded their speech, divided them amongst families, amongst countries, and amongst nations. He confounded. They was of one speech and one language. So to have unity, a man and a woman had to have the same speech. How are they going to have two different speech and have unity? That's what Yahweh did when he confounded their language. He confounded their speech. How can you be speaking two different languages and also be one? That's what Yahweh did to confound their language. He divided them. So in order for you to be one, you have to have the same language. You have to have the same speech. You have to have the same goal, the same outlook, the same imagination, the same thought, working on behalf of one thing. And people don't want that. You got your mind, I got my mind. You got your opinion, I got my opinion. Those are your thoughts, and these are my thoughts. In other words, you don't want unity. And then, when you're divided, then you want to cry. What you crying for? You didn't want unity. You didn't want that. Because if you wanted that, you've been talking the same way. You would have been sounding the same way. You would have been doing the same thing. You would have been thinking with one type of thought. Because unity is becoming one. And you cannot go to stage two, order number two, without becoming one. Because unity means one. That's what it means. It don't mean Rishon first. It means Echad, one. And just so you can see how Yahweh, how he see one versus how the mass majority of our people, they see one different the way Yahweh see one. That don't mean we can't. We have to think the same way. It don't. It don't mean we got to believe the same. It don't. It can't mean we, you know, we have to walk in the same. It don't. Let me show you how Yahweh see one, how he see unity, and how he see Echad. And all that is saying the same thing. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's very unfortunate. And it's Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And it's very unfortunate that this is not the mindset. So even before you can even become at any stage of unity, any stage, you've already defeated the very first stage, and that is you're thinking different. You're not even thinking as one. You're thinking independent of one another. And you are allowing your own imaginations to guide your endeavors. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, the fourth verse. Shema, Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yah. Shema, Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Which simply means Yah is one. Yah is one unit. In other words, there's no Yahweh the Son, Yahweh the Father, and Yahweh the Holy Ghost. That don't exist with Yahweh. There's no family of Yahweh. If Yahweh wanted us to be a family of Yahwehs, he would have made us a family of Yahwehs. There's no assembly of Yahwehs. Even though you got a group out there calling themselves the assembly of Yahweh, Yahweh never called his congregation of Yahwehs, assembly of Yahweh. That don't even exist in the book. Because Yahweh wanted us to know there's only one Yahweh. One. And what do one mean? Unit. And everything come from this one unit. And what do it mean for Yahweh to be one? That all existence, all power, all everything comes from this one. And Yahweh don't even want you to have in your mind that there is some other Yahweh, there is some other power, there is some other existence separated from him. What about evil? No, that comes from Yahweh. What about death? Yahweh. What about killing? Yahweh. What about curse? Yahweh. So does life, blessings, good, and everything. There is nothing that exists without this one unified unit called Yahweh. So whatever you desire, whatever you want, and whatever you can imagine, do it in the confines of this one power, because there's nothing else other than this power. Nothing. That's why he says, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Don't let nobody tell you about a bunch of spirits. They come from Yahweh. Bunch of people, they come from Yahweh. Everything comes from Yahweh. Furthermore, let's see how Yahweh see unity. And for some reason, and unfortunately, this is not the type of unity we see, because we just want to come together in one way. We want to be married, but we really don't want to be one. I still want to have my opinion, and you still want to have yours. That's not unity. That's not unified. And it shows not the type of marriage that Yahweh ordained for man and woman to become one. So you know it's not the ideal of Yahweh, the ways of Yahweh, for people to be one. They have all kind of different opinions and imaginations and walking all kind of ways. Watch this in the book of Ezekiel. And we're talking about the order of unity. In the first order, is what the word itself means. How can you bypass this word or the meaning of this word and then believe and think that you are one or unified? You're not unified at all. Not until you learn to become one. And the way you learn to become one is just doing it. You just become one. So ain't no sense of getting married if you're not going to become one. Woman might say, well, I can't come become one with you. Well, you're going to have to become one with somebody. Whoever they are. Whoever they are. And likewise, a man. You can't have it no other way. Well, you can have it another way, but it's not going to be unity. Watch what it says. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. And this is how Yahweh see unity. And unity is something that is pleasant. how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if you want something displeasant, then what do you think you must do to desist? Ezekiel 11, chapter, the 17th verse. Therefore say, thus is Elohim, I will even gather you from the people, assemble you out of the countries, would let you know, he's talking about the future, where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come there, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And watch what it says. And I will give them one heart. Who one heart? The people. They're not going to have no two different hearts and thinking this way and they thinking that way. And no, he's going to give them one heart. Watch this. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. In other words, a soft heart. Not a stubborn heart. A hard heart that cannot be penetrated. I'm going to give them a soft heart. In other words, that's the one heart. That one heart is a soft heart that allows you to humble yourself when you're supposed to. It allows you to walk together. Because the only reason you're not walking together, because one got this opinion, another one got that opinion, and they not going to change, and they not going to think different, and they not. Why? Because they don't want to be unified, and they hard too stubborn to see what true unity is. That somebody got to follow somebody. And they refuse to humble themselves. And pride go before destruction. But honor goes before humility. That's when you get your honor. Not being stubborn. Not going by your own way. Not thinking you just right. But Yahweh see true unity. I got to give these people one heart. I got to give them one heart. I can't have a bunch of people with stony hearts and then the other people with soft hearts. No, I can't have that no more. They're going to have one heart according to Yahweh. And just to show you that, watch this in the 21st verse of the same Ezekiel 11 chapter. But as for them, whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, says Yahweh. So this is what Yahweh said. He sees as true unity. You have to have one heart. Not just one heart. You got to have a new spirit. And watch this. How Yahweh sees true unity. And this is something that in the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 15th chapter. And this is what it says. In the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. The 13th verse. This is all that are born of the country, Numbers 15:13, all that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner. An offering made by fire for a sweet savior unto Yahweh. And if a stranger sojourn with you, in other words, he lives with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto Yahweh as ye do, so he shall do. In other words, as you do, they do. And watch what Yahweh say. One ordinance shall be both for you, other congregation, also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever in your generations, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Now that's unity. That's togetherness. That's all together. That's one unit. As you are, so shall they be. Where do you think the term come from? Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's where this term come from. If you want people to treat you good, you treat them good. That seemed to be fair. But as you are, so shall they be. Now you notice it didn't say, as they are, so shall you be. You're not to follow them. They to follow you. Somebody has to be the head, and somebody has to be the tail. Somebody has to be the morning light, and somebody has to be the evening light. Something has to follow the other. That's part of having unity. Everybody can't lead. Everybody can't be a chief. Everybody can't be the head. And this seemed to be the problem. Everybody got their opinion. Everybody think they're right. Everybody got their own mind. I can read for myself. I can do for myself. Well, while you're doing everything for self, have your own opinion, have your own way, and it seems right to you, then you don't get exactly what this type of confusion rewards people with. And at the end of the day, it's not unity. Why? Yes, you want harmonious marriages, but the man is not to follow the woman. Not because Moray Ishaya said that. That's what Yahweh said. Just like Israel is not to follow the sojourner, the stranger, the foreigner, the alien. They, as you are, so shall they be. Somebody got to follow somebody. Or less, you got a better idea on how to have unity. Because this is Yahweh's ideal. This is what Yahweh is saying. One law. One manner, which means there's only one law and one way. That's what the word manner means, one way. One law shall be for you and for the stranger that's adjourned with you. So again, how sincere are you in becoming one? How sincere are you in becoming unified? Yahweh is very serious about it. And what are you doing to demonstrate this oneness? What are you doing together? I mean, all together. Even in your own family, what are you doing? Just because you are a family, it don't mean you're unified. Even amongst family members, you got all these diverse opinions. This person going this way, that person going that way. They can't get along. They can't do things together. They can't get nothing accomplished because this person have their own way and have their own opinion and have their own thought and then their own feelings. And therefore now the family is not one. Well, who the head of the family? The head of the family, the one who's supposed to get everybody on the same page. And it starts with his wife. No wonder ain't nobody ain't on the same page. Because the man and the woman is not on the same page. Therefore, the children ain't on the same page. But this unity has to start somewhere. And it has to start at the head, at the top. Or there will not be true unity. When you read the book of Psalms 133, it says the oil went from the head down to the beard, all the way down to the skirts of Aaron's garments. It ran down, not up. And so you got to have elders, leaders, men that have the fortitude, and they have to have the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the counsel and might, and the fear of Elohim. They must have these very spirits to do and to bring about something so pleasant. Even if I can't see it in a city, even if I can't see it in the country, even if I can't see it amongst the towns, can we at least see it in the family, in the house? Can we at least see the family operating as one unit, going one direction, led by one individual. And that one is the head that Yahweh set up to lead. Can we at least see that? And if we can't see that, then how can we see unity? Is the order of unity. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. And I know people only think they want it. Because that means you will have to do things that you haven't circumcised your heart to do. It's too painful. It's too difficult. And why? Because you're too stubborn. And you don't really want what you think you want. And the very thing that you think you're going to have will escape you. No wonder Yahweh said this in the book of Jeremiah. And let us turn there. Jeremiah, the third chapter. Jeremiah 3. We have a lot of sons that's in trouble. And why? Because they didn't listen. We have a lot of daughters, they in trouble because they didn't listen. And we have a lot of parents now broke up and divided. And then we understand, then we wonder why the children is in the condition they're in. A bunch of broken families. When our families supposed to be united, supposed to be one. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. 12th verse. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, says Yahweh. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am a merciful. I am merciful, says Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquities, that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh thy Elohim, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am married unto you. In other words, we're supposed to be one. Turn. We're supposed to be a unit. We're supposed to be all together. We're supposed to be unified. And watch what Yahweh says. And I will take you one of a city. Why just one? Because the mass majority of the people, they don't want to be one. They just talk this one stuff. They just talk it. But they're not going to do what it takes to be one. So I'm going to take one of a city and two of a family. Why? Because the mass majority of the people in the family don't want to be one either. Only can find a couple out of this whole family that want to be one. They just talk that one stuff. But it's just talk. They don't want to be one. And I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And this is what we're trying to do to you, for you today. Give you knowledge and understanding. Everybody can't lead. Everybody is not meant to be the chief. Somebody got to follow. Somebody got to lead. And only then, and only can we have true unity. Because then, and only then, can you say you're one. And this oneness only and exclusively come from Yahweh. So when you're not, it's only because you want your heart won't allow you to be what Yahweh wants you to be, as He is, and He's one. So until tomorrow, because we will continue talking about the order of unity. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.